Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Time to elaborate. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Backyard Labrish. This is your host, Margaret Marshall, and I am dialing in from Atlanta, Georgia. We used to call it Hotlanta, but now I'm singing a different tune. It is freezing down here. But anyhow, I'm going to be sure to get warmed up. As a matter of fact, that music always gets me thinking about an easy chair underneath a fruit tree. And last week we were chilling out under the mangoes and the apples and the plums. And this week we will be chilling out under some different trees with some wonderfully innovative and different names. Some of them have fruits in them, some of them have sops in them. I mean, we just have all sorts of special names. Now, I'm not sure really if that's the real name of the fruit, but knowing my culture, I mean, we will make one up that is so musical and just us, because we are diversified. And we are passionate, and we are special. So I want to welcome everybody to the show tonight. And I hope that you are already feeling some of these juices in your mouth getting active when you think of all the wonderful fruits that you grew up on while you were there. And wish you had some of them right now, especially the people in the cold places. Even though it's cold, you know, you would be drinking some of those juices or sucking on some of those fruits. So I want to welcome our callers to the board and our callers online. And again, we're here each week at 8 o'clock celebrating, enlightening, and preserving the rich culture of Jamaica as we, the seniors in the diaspora, knew it before independence. So what this is about is leaving a living legacy for those who may come behind us when we are perhaps gone, and they can listen to any of these shows that they choose and learn something from the people who lived it. So tonight we're going to be talking about sour sap, sweet sap, guava, stinking toe, if anybody knows who that is, which one that is, because although we are all from Jamaica, I know there are some people living in one part of the island that might not know about fruits. They might know the fruit, but perhaps have never tasted it. And I see we have callers on the board already. And I know that for me, I haven't tasted every single fruit in Jamaica. There's some I tasted and it wasn't so good to me, and others that I'm just raving over. So I want to invite our callers online to plug in whenever they want to help me out here with the memories of what some of the how we ate some of these fruits and how we miss them. So the first thing I want to talk about tonight, and remember, as I always tell the callers on the board, this is a lab rich. So put up your hand whenever you want to interact. Now, for the people who are just friends of Jamaica or have visited Jamaica, I'm sure they've been exposed to the usual one, mangoes, the different kinds of mangoes we have, and perhaps some of our apples and our plums. However, I am not sure if they've ever seen a real jackfruit, especially the ones we have in Jamaica. I know I've seen some in the farmer's market here where I live in Atlanta, Georgia. It looks a little different, and I know that they're bottling it because I've seen it in the Caribbean Isle, and I think it grows in other parts of the world too. But tonight we're going to be talking about our Jamaican jackfruit, so which is one I consider of the exotic fruits, because if you think of its size, and of course all of our fruits have a scientific name that I cannot pronounce, and I won't even try. We just know it as jackfruit, and I don't know why it would be jack. Well, I suppose it's really huge. But on my notes here, do you know that a jackfruit can weigh as much as 80 pounds? And it can be as long as 36 inches long and 20 inches in diameter. I mean, that means that, you know, although we can eat a couple of mangoes, I don't think anybody has eaten a whole jackfruit, but then I wouldn't swear on that. Now, when fully ripe, the unopened jackfruit emits a strong, disagreeable odor resembling that of decayed onions. Now, while the jackfruit pulp of the open jackfruit smells of pineapple and banana, the fruit itself don't smell too good. Once you open it up, it is absolutely delicious and smells wonderful. But I don't know why it emits a bad, according to, I don't remember that though. If anybody on the board can help me out here, I suppose because I was so intrigued with the texture and the taste of the fruit. And it's not until I saw, some writing about it online that I realized that it does sort of smell and taste like a pineapple and a banana, you know, mixed together. So now I know in last week we talked about different things that other cultures did with not only the fruit, but the leaves, the seeds, the roots and the bark of the trees we discussed last week. But I know that, and so you're going to hear a lot of other things that they do with some of the fruits that we just take for granted and just eat the fruit itself. So, again, I'd like to ask the callers on the board if you would like to join the Labrish. Please hit 1 on your telephone. I will see, it's just like you're in school and you're raising your hand, and I will be happy to open up the mic and welcome you to the Backyard Labrish. So, again, back to the jackfruit. Now, the jackfruit seeds can also be boiled, I didn't even know that, or roasted and eaten similar to chestnuts. Now, in Southeast Asia, dried slices of unripe jackfruits are sold in the markets. Dried slices. Oh. The ripe bulb, fermented and then distilled, produces a liqueur. I never heard of that. Now, this is in where I just mentioned that they would do that with it. If anyone knows if we are making a liqueur from our jackfruit, would you please let me know? But I've never really heard or seen any information on that. Now, in 1782, jackfruit plants from a captured French ship detained in Martinique was taken to Jamaica. We've had that since 1782. And, of course, you know, once it gets there, it says presumably it got to Florida, too. I didn't even know they have jackfruits in Florida. About 100 years later, the Jamaican jackfruit made its appearance in Florida, presumably imported, you know, by some fruit company, United States Fruit Company, in 1887. Now, there are few specimens in all over America, they say here, I'm reading, and today less than a dozen jackfruit trees are in South Florida, but before apparently they had a lot of them. So, if any of our callers know different ways that we Jamaicans eat the jackfruit, please let me know. Now, here it says that that jackfruit is often included in curried dishes. Doesn't tell me where, but it can be used in curried dishes. I never knew that. Now, it also, the seeds are ground and made into flour, which is blended with wheat for baking. When large quantities are available, the fruit is worthwhile to utilize in edible portions, and the rind has been found to yield a fit. No, this can't be the jackfruit. Our jackfruit don't have any rind. What are they talking about? Oh, it says it here. Tender Jamaican jackfruit leaves and young male Jamaica jackfruit flower clusters may be cooked and served as a vegetable. Wow. And it has quite a lot of nutritional properties. It has niacin and ascorbic acid. Now, the ripe fruit is somewhat, it can be used as a laxative. If it's eaten in excess, it becomes a laxative and can even cause diarrhea. I suppose if anyone tried to eat the whole jackfruit, that is what would happen to him. Now, excuse me. Here again, who on the board can tell me something about jackfruit? Did you know that, as I mentioned before, anybody knew that the seeds can be roasted and eat and has a chestnut flavor? I think we just spit out the seeds. It's low in calories, and it's also low in fat, and sources of potassium and vitamin A has been found. And all of these, this information I'm giving about the nutritional value, it has been clinically tested to produce what I'm talking about, because I'm getting this documentation from research by different scientific groups. So, again, I'm saying how fortunate we were when we were growing up there to be exposed to all these different fruits, you know, whether we ate them very often or once in a while. I thought we didn't really respect them for what they were doing for our bodies because of perhaps we just didn't know. I don't know. But I know I certainly didn't. I mean, you just ate it because it was there, but it's not because it was special. So, unless someone else has some news to give me about the jackfruit, I guess nobody's raising their hands. Remember what I said? This is a labrish. So I need, if you are a jackfruit favorite, if you grew up and had a jackfruit in your yard or went to the country where somebody else had a jackfruit tree. I have never personally seen a jackfruit tree. I don't even know what it looks like. And I see someone at 718-379 with a raised hand that would like to join the labyrinth. So I'm going to open up the mic. Welcome to the backyard. Are you sitting in your easy chair?
Yes.
Okay, so who do we have here?
You got Lane the Bronx, the home of the New York Yankees.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Lane the Bronx.
And I just wanted to go on record to say that I hate jackfruit because I hated its smell as a child.
You mean you hated the smell of the outside or the inside?
Both inside, outside. I never tasted a jackfruit.
You never tasted it?
No, I just know it exists, but I was probably turned off by the odor.
Oh, you're one of those sensitive Jamaicans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just one other comment. I heard you quibble about the rind of the jackfruit. Well, that's just a synonym for skin.
Oh, I got
and fruits, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, we Jamaicans think of rind on an orange or a grape,
a lime,
that kind of thing.
But in a biological sense, rind is skin.
I got you. So it's interesting to know that people in other parts of the world use so many different parts of the fruits that I am not aware that in the Jamaican culture we used any other part of any of these fruits that I'm talking about, especially those we discussed last week, other than for the fruit. And I would like to stand corrected if anyone that is listening to us know that in their family or friends or, you know, relatives, that if they used any of the fruits we are discussing for anything other than the fruit, if they would let us know. But I know I can't remember ever seeing my older people using, you know, like the different fruits we talked about last week, using any part of the tree. In most cases, except for some that we're going to discuss this evening, I didn't see the trees of some of these fruits. Of course, the mangoes, the special mangoes that grew in Kingston, I always did. But I've never seen a jackfruit tree. Have you ever seen a jackfruit tree, Lay?
No.
Okay, neither have I. And therefore, I don't know about the smell. I only know that it smells a little funny. But I love the inside. I love the texture. I love the taste. I see I have a raised hand from 516244, and I'm going to open up the mic. Just a minute, please. Welcome to the Labrish. This is Margaret. Who do I have?
Hi, Margaret. Good evening. This is Janine.
Hi, Janine. You're calling in from a new number. Where are you tonight?
A new number. I'm using my cell tonight because I'm not home.
Oh, I see. Welcome to the Labrish. What city are you calling us from tonight?
Oh, same New York. Long
okay.
Island.
So we have two New Yorkers in the backyard.
Right.
Okay. Well, I hope you're feeling the tropical breeze.
That's a stretch.
Well, the imagination, you can imagine anything.
Well, in my case tonight, I wish I was feeling that breeze.
So what do you have to tell us about the jackfruit?
The only thing I can relate to is that I used to eat a lot of it, and it was like a very stainy fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It had a stain to it. But I have never seen the tree myself, but I was told that the fruit actually grew on the trunk of the tree.
Oh, instead of on the branch?
Branch, right.
Ah, that's
because it is so big, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you...
I suppose the branch couldn't support it.
Exactly.
I'd love to see a picture of the jackfruit tree.
Me too, and I know as a fact they have it a lot in Florida. But the next thing is that we can also get the jackfruit in a can now.
Right, I know that.
They sell it in a can, which is very good because, I mean, sometimes I actually buy the can and have it.
How does that compare with the fruit, the taste of it?
It's just the same. It's just that it's in a liquid. You know, they put it like in a syrup, but the fruit itself, you know, the taste is the same.
Oh, I got you.
If for some reason someone would like to introduce it to a family member that don't really know anything about it, they can get it in the can and, you know, they throw the liquid off and you take out, it comes in good sizes, so you take it out and it's the same thing, really. It's just that we are having the natural fruit back home.
Mm-hmm.
This I think this is coming from Thailand because they have a lot of our fruits there too.
Oh yes, definitely. And I'm telling you, it can be added to other like a fruit salad or something like that because the texture
is
very unique and it does taste. They described it as tasting like a combination of pineapple and banana.
Banana, that's true.
Yes. And so I thought this was an apt description of how I really feel that it tastes.
Yes.
So I described the inside of a jackfruit, Janine. It's
like a yellowish color.
And is it elongated, long, or like a sausage or something?
Yeah, like a huge 8-pound sausage.
Oh, you mean the jackfruit itself?
No, I'm talking about the inside, the pulp.
What they call it, the pulp or whatever.
Yes, the pulp.
Mm-hmm.
You take it out in sections.
Like strip it.
Peg.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Peg. That's the right word. When you cut it, you take it out in pegs, and you heat it just like that. But if it's not properly ripe, then it's going to be very steamy. So you have to really wait until it's ripe.
So you pick it or you get it at a certain stage in maturity, and you leave it at home and let it ripe.
No, I think you have to pick it off the tree ripe.
Right. I don't know how they do it, but
get it at home.
When my grandmother or mother used to buy it from the market, when they would bring it home, it's already ready for to eat.
So
I don't know at what stage.
Unlike an avocado, that's in most cases.
Right, exactly so.
Yeah.
And the seeds would be within the pod, within the little peg.
Right.
Right?
Uh-huh.
It's not like
right.
Big seed like avocado.
Yes, I've heard about them boiling that seed too.
Really?
I've never had it, yes.
Ah, well, this article said it can be roasted and it actually tastes like chestnut.
Yes.
Interesting.
And you know how they used to do that? You remember first time there was coal stove with
oh,
ashes?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They would put it in the pot that had the ashes pot and bake it.
Oh,
hey.
Interesting. You live there. I know that.
As a Saint Jamaica, Janine, you know about.
Yes. You know about. And so, Lay, may I suggest that if you want to introduce your taste buds to the fruit, you should perhaps try one in the can because I don't think it has the same smell.
Well, I have a feeling it's too late.
No, it's never too late to experience something.
You will, in all honesty, I'm not going to lie to him. When you open it, it will have that fruit.
It's smell.
All right, there
it's
you go.
Goodness.
There's no open as my eating a jackfruit.
All right. Well, let's move on to the guava.
All right. That's a good one.
On to the guava.
Mm.
Well, actually, do you know that the guava is outstandingly high in vitamin C?
Not surprised. Yeah.
Right. And it is also it can be as high as 5 times that of a fresh orange.
Mm-hmm.
In South America, guavas are mixed with cornmeal and other ingredients to make breakfast food flakes. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
And in some cases, they use the whole tree. They say here the wood is yellow to reddish. It's fine-grained and compact. It's moderately strong, and it is used in carpentry. And we're not really utilizing these things for as much as half as much as other cultures. It's the wood is used in Malaysia and India, and it's good for engraving. In Guatemala, the wood is used for spinning tops, like, gig, as we used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
In El Salvador, it is fashioned into hair combs and are perishable when wet, which are perishable when wet. It is good fuel wood and also a source of charcoal. Are you there? Is the static on your line, Janine?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
If I have to close off, I will and call back.
All righty. Well, thank you for enlightening us about the jack.
I will call you back in a few minutes.
All righty. Thanks.
Okay, bye.
All right. Now, the guava leaves can be mixed with other plants, and it can be made into a dye for silk. Huh. Leaves are employed to give a black color to cotton, and in Indonesia they serve to dye matting. Matting, I suppose, that is some sort of material or flooring that they do. I know different kinds of mats, so they use it as a dye for that. Now, Leigh, have you tasted? You've had a guava, right?
You bet. I was exposed to the tree. This is one of the fruits that I was exposed to, being a Kingstonian. But when I went to visit my grandmother's brother and his property,
uh-huh.
He has guava trees, and you know, the guava is grown on the trees and harvested on maturity. You pick them off the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about the guava is that you can cook it, you know, stew it.
Right, make jelly. I know that.
Make
guava jelly and dosi. Guava dosi.
That I didn't know. What's that?
That is like a... They call it a guava cheese, I think.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, yeah.
Right.
Guava cheese.
Uh-huh.
And it makes a really a nice dessert.
All right. But listen to this. The leaves, crushed guava leaves, can be applied to wounds, ulcers. If you have a rheumatism, you put it where it aches. And the leaves can be chewed to relieve toothache. Huh. Isn't that something? You can make it into a tea, and it's a good remedy for coughs, throat, and chest ailment. You can gargle it to relieve oral ulcers and inflamed gums.
So for medicinal purposes, it's...
Right. It has been effective in halting vomiting and diarrhea in people with cholera. It is also applied on the skin for skin disease. I'm talking about the leaves now.
Yeah.
And a combination of the bark and the leaves that is given to people after childbirth to help cleanse them. I'm telling you, the things I am learning about these trees is unbelievable. And it the leaves actually have a special oil in them, and it's the oil in the leaves that help to do what all the things I'm talking about. So whereas we only use the guava for making jellies and jams and eating, you know, it can be utilized for a lot more. So I hope that our listeners will find some of this information interesting, because I know I certainly have. And also, you know, to realize how much nutrition we were being exposed to when we were eating fruit unknowingly. So... let's move on to something that I'm sure everybody all across the island know, although I don't remember I've ever seen a guinea tree.
Oh, yeah.
You have seen a guinea tree, Leigh?
We had a guinea tree in our yard.
Oh, okay. Well, the Guinness seed, if that Guinness seed ever get down your throat, I mean, you're hurting. However, the seeds, too, can be roasted. They're edible.
People used to chew on them. You know, kids I see would, first of all, you suck off the
meat.
The meat part.
Uh-huh.
And they chew on the stone, as you would call it.
Right. Well, the flesh itself and the seed too, you know, have a whole lot of nutrients in it. It has protein, fat, carbohydrate, fiber, calcium, phosphorus, iron, riboflavin, ascorbic acid. I mean, it's just loaded with nutrition. Loaded with nutrition.
And now that you're talking about it, I am remembering that in almost every island that I've been to in the Caribbean, I see I don't see the trees because I probably didn't go that far, but I see the fruit being sold in the markets. I see it in Puerto Rico. I see it in Dominican Republic,
mm-hmm.
all over the place, Costa Rica.
Okay.
Here in New York.
Right. But I wonder if people really know or realize how nutritious that one little fruit is.
Yeah, maybe they don't.
I don't think so. Anyway, the guinea wood too is being used in other cultures. You know what I mean? It's very fine grained, they say, and you know it. Is valid for raft. They make it into rafters, indoor framing, cabinet work. I'm just amazed at all the things that can be used for. In some cultures, the seed is pulverized and mixed with honey and given to halt diarrhea. It's also can be used for as an enema. Huh, and for intestinal complaints. Man, that guinea is strong. Ain't that something? You live and learn. Because as far as I know, we were just enjoying the fruit.
Yep, that seems like that's what we mostly do in Jamaica with fruits. You know, we enjoy the taste of the fruit, and that's it. We don't employ any other benefits from the tree or the leaves per se.
I am wondering if it's because we don't know, or if there are parts of the island where they know and they're using this, or because in other cultures it seems the things I'm telling you about that they're talking about is never about at what they do with it in Jamaica. It's other cultures that have the fruits too, the
yeah.
trees.
But it's very possible that in the country where people are more prone to use the leaves of plants and trees for different things, that they do this, only it's not documented as such, you know, because you find that people boil some of the leaves and they do different things and drink it
mm-hmm.
for medicinal reasons. So, you know, it's only that we, growing up as we did, especially in Kingston, we are more interested in what comes to market, and that's the fruit.
right, that's true. I as I said, you know, a lot of these trees, I loved fruits. I really, really loved fruits. So a lot of these, I did not see the trees, but I know that I always had fruit because, like a lot of other Jamaicans, I grew up in Kingston and only went to perhaps two different parts of the country in my whole 23 years that I lived there. And that would be, you know, Savlemar in Westmoreland, where my aunt who resided there went to the market and purchased, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables. I don't remember if we had, I don't remember if we had some mango trees in the yard, but I don't remember, you know, being exposed to a lot of guinea tree and guava tree and things. Now, the things that grow in Kingston, I remember even one of my girlfriends that had been on the show sometimes had a few fruit trees in her yard, one of which was a Nesberry, I think. So
I think that's perhaps
in Kingston a lot.
Yeah, that's my favorite fruit.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Ah.
And it's very seasonal. It just turns out that every time I would go to in quest of Nesberries, it's out of season.
Ah. So do you remember what time it was in season? Was it during the summertime?
I'm thinking maybe nearing the end of summer, it seems, you know, because during this summer, you see a sprinkling, you know, you're traveling through the country and people have stalls along the road and they would have like a dozen Nesberries. Yeah, and sometimes during the beginning of summer, I wouldn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I'm always looking for Nesberries. So I would say I'm more successful, like, coming on to September. So I could be corrected, but that's from a consumer point of view, that's when I would see them.
Well, do you know that the sap of the from the Nesberry tree, right?
Yeah.
Is the chief ingredient in chewing gum?
Well, a small wonder, because have you ever seen an Nesberry on the tree?
Uh-huh.
And you see that white excrement that comes out of the Nesberry itself. And I'm not sure what comes out of the bark, but before the Nesberry is ready to be picked or fall down from the branches, sort of greenish. If you let's say you take your fingernail and pierce the Nesberry, you'd see that white stuff comes out.
Oh yes, I remember that.
Yeah, and that's probably what you're talking about.
Yep. But you know, that's what it says here. You know that it is used in chewing gum.
Yeah.
Huh. I'm reading as I'm talking to you. There's so much information on all of our fruits, really, just tons of information on the internet.
But I'm, you know, this is the first time I'm hearing about the use of that bark.
The sap, as I call it.
I call it sap because, you know, we would buy a chewing gum in the pack and forget about where it came from. You know?
Right. As a matter of fact, they're talking here that there's a possibility that it can be used to make dentures. Huh. And that some research, I've been going on all this since 1930.
Well, that is a little more technical because you sort of wonder how that sap, when it's congealed, what kind of substance occurs.
Well, according to them here, you know, everything in it is harmless.
Oh.
You know, it can. They're saying here that the Nesberry seed, actually, too, the leaves, the seed, the bark, different parts of it have different uses. They use it for different things.
Okay.
And there's some of the things that we discussed last week. They said that the seeds, if you know, could be dangerous if you had too much of it too. But here again, the wood is strong and durable, and timbers, and it's used for utensils. As a matter of fact, the Mayans used a lot of it. They use it for their teeth, just all sorts of different things.
You know, it seems to me that when you pick fruits from the tree, I seem to remember in the back of my mind that your parents always tell you don't eat too much of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that you've been talking about, that the derivatives from the fruit, like it's good for diarrhea, it's good for this, that, it would make sense that you really don't eat too much of the fruit. And this rule was overarching for all different kinds of fruits.
Right.
And even mango, and yet I hear people that really love mango sit down and eat a dozen mango. I often wonder what effect that has on anybody, you know?
Right. Well, I believe that anything in moderation is fine, but once you're going to go overboard,
I'm just saying from the point of view, the parents used to tell you, don't have too much of this and don't have too much of that. Strictly from the point of maybe they know that if you have six mangoes, you could end up with a severe diarrhea. I don't know.
Right, definitely.
Yeah.
But the wood of the Nesberry tree, as I mentioned, is strong and durable. And it can be used for flooring, carts, tools, handles of tools. I mean, just all arches, bow, furniture, banisters, just all sorts of things that you can use it for. As a matter of fact, it is unlawful, it is prohibited to cut down a Nesberry tree in the Yucatan because of its value. Huh.
Well, I wish they would tell Jamaicans that, because you see, Nesberry trees are usually huge trees. They grow very tall. Now you're hard pressed to find one in any of the metropolitan areas, because they cut them all down.
Right.
So they would be in trouble if they were in Yucatan.
Right. Now they said the Nesberry seed have a diuretic action and are claimed to expel bladder and kidney stones.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
And in the Yucatan, again, the fluid extracted from the crushed seeds is used as a sedative.
Okay. Now, in your research, did you find that they use, for instance, in the Yucatan, a different name for Nesberry?
Mm-mm. As a matter of fact, most of this thing referred to it as the Jamaican Nesberry, but it talks about what they do with
it. Good thing you said Jamaican, because all the islands that I've been to, when I say, the first thing I ask for is a Nesberry, and nobody knows what I'm talking about.
But when I
describe it to them, they come up with a name that, and then you find out that's their Nesberry. It's the same thing.
Oh, I got it. Which is possible, because I Googled, you know, Jamaican Nesberry.
Yeah, yeah.
So the information I'd get, it would refer to it as a Jamaican Nesberry.
Right.
But listen to this. The leaves can be sweetened, can daily to lower blood pressure. You can make a tea from it.
I think I've heard that before, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that.
You can apply it to stings and bites. Huh. And even a snake bite, they say it can help. The latex is used as a crude filling for tooth cavities. Eaten fresh, usually a dessert. Bark contains a gummy latex. Isn't that something? I'm telling you, I am just amazed at all the things that the entire tree, you know, can be utilized for. Oh, Lord. One of my friends who now live in Florida had a wonderful one in our yard. And I don't know if any of our listeners can back me up on this, But I think that there are two different kinds. One is very round, and one is sort of have a different shape. I see that Janine is back on the board with her hands raised, so I'm going to open up the mic to her. Janine, welcome to the backyard again. Your mic is open.
Okay. I don't know of the different shape, to be honest. I only know of one.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to bring to your attention that the now can in the Nesberry, you can now get it in a can.
Oh, really?
I've had that, too, and it's very good. The way they do it, too, the whole thing in.
If you see that, order 6 cases for me.
Okay.
But let me ask you something.
That's my favorite fruit.
I'm not jokingly.
No.
I've had it.
Yes.
So is it sliced? Are you getting it in slices or what?
Or
pureed?
Yes, it's sliced, but they don't.
And what do they call
it? Anything. It's in the skin.
What do they call it?
It's in the skin and in a syrup, too.
Mm. What do they call it, Janine?
Nesberry.
Okay, and it's a Jamaican product, like grapes, or is it?
Again, it's from Thailand.
Okay.
They are the ones that are putting out all these fruits in the can.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm telling you.
I'm going to go looking for that.
Jamaica need to get smarten up and utilize or try, get in exporting business of some of these things.
Somebody just gave me a sour sap juice, a can of sour sap juice.
That you can get anywhere.
And that
right.
was from Thailand, yeah.
That as, what do they call it? There's a guana banana or something.
Yeah,
there's
guayabana.
A Spanish word.
You can get that in the supermarket. That is common.
Yeah.
Right. So now we're going to talk about the sap. It's funny, the names that our fruits have, sweet sap and sour sap. And did you know that the soursop seed is toxic?
No, didn't know that.
Well, it is. Now, the leaves and the roots of the tree have various medicinal properties.
Yes, that I know. The leaves very good for high blood pressure.
Oh, really?
Yes, boil as a tea. Yeah.
Huh. Well, we're learning something on the show tonight, and I hope our listeners will appreciate some of this information.
Maybe they
and
know
when
something.
They go back home to Jamaica, perhaps they will not only enjoy the soursop, but also some of the leaves.
Maybe some of the listeners know other uses, too. Why don't they?
Right. Well, I'm asking them to write me. There are people on the board and listen online, but if the listeners online need to interact with me, you'll have to call in. And the number to call is, what is my number to
718.
Call?
718-765-4558.
Thank you, Janine.
You're welcome. I was drawing blank just now.
Right. So, actually, this is a lab rich, and we appreciate any input, and we want to remind you that we're here each week at 8 o'clock just doing what we're doing now, lab riching. This is not a political show. We're not talking about what's wrong or right. When we come to the backyard, we just want to chill, hang out, and bring back memories of what we enjoyed when we were growing up in Jamaica. And if anyone from Jamaica, see, we have some Skyping people. I don't know where you're calling from. However, I want to welcome you. And if you at any time have anything to add that you know is going on in Jamaica right now that we in the diaspora is not aware of, do let us know. We'd love to have you join the Labrish. So now we're talking about the soursop. And the soursop happened to be high in vitamin B1, B2, and C. There's several vitamins and minerals, and it only has 30 to 40 calories for an average size, It has protein, fat, carbohydrate, fiber, calcium, phosphorus, iron, vitamin A, niacin, and amino acids. I mean, I could go on and on, but we have other fruits to talk about. So can you imagine when we eat even one of any of the fruits that we've discussed per day, how we were getting all of this nourishment? No wonder, you know, we could perhaps, we never really fall victim to a lot of the diseases that even the young children here seem to get. You know, I don't remember us getting a cold very often. I know I didn't.
Yes, that's true.
You know what I mean? We were sort of hardy. And I don't know what's happening there with the young people now, because I understand that some of the farmers would rather sell their corn and buy cornflakes for their children instead of grating their corn like they used to in the old days and get a real good, not even the processed corn meal, but a real good corn porridge. You know, you can grate the corn when it's dried and make porridge from it.
Which is better for you in the long run.
Of course, and it just has a totally different taste.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know if the children now are really enjoying the benefits of what they have right under their noses. So, and how much of this is still growing in Jamaica, especially in Kingston and the area where people might not have a lot of land? I don't know what. I wanted to talk a little bit about the tonics that we used to have, or the remedies that we used to hear about there. I was under the impression that most of those were made from bush or the vines instead of barks and leaves. Am I correct? I know some of the tonics would have chena root that would talk about, as the people would advertise. I remember in the old days when you had peddlers on the street, they would call out what they have. Who remembers that?
Not so much.
The fish man would call out the kind of fish he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the people who sold tonic would call chena root this, that, you know, different names.
Yes.
Strong back.
Yes.
And they almost had a song about it, you know, as they would call out the names. It would be musical or whimsical. And I'm just, those memories are coming back to me as I'm discussing it now. You know, you would hear the man walking up and down the street in the days when that used to happen in Jamaica. And it's still happening now. The days when we didn't have supermarkets. Anybody remember that?
I remember something when they would say, put it back.
Put it back? Oh, you mean when you go to the market?
When you buy.
Oh, no. When they're talking about the tonic.
The tonic.
Oh, yes. I know it was chena root and then strong back. And then
the predator or something to that effect. And
right. There was a song about
glass,
it. Other something. Anybody remember that song? Please let these old ladies and old men know. The memory's coming back in bits and pieces.
Yes.
Now, listen to this.
Just remind us a little bit, it would come back.
Right. The soursop is sometimes used at times as bait in fish traps. Did anyone know that?
No.
Huh. Now, when you pulverize the seeds, they make an effective pesticide against head lice. You know, remember I tell you, the seeds are poisonous.
Yes.
They will kill even fleas.
Oh.
They will kill fleas. Isn't that something?
Huh. Yeah.
I wonder what happened in the case of mosquitoes. They got so many of them down there.
Right. I don't know. Perhaps if they burn some of the wood, it would kill them. Huh. But it is known to kill lice, head lice, and the bark has been used in also, here it says it not only lice, but bed bugs.
Oh.
That is in the days of the Koya mattress. Who remembers that?
Yes.
It was like wires.
Yes.
And it's not Koya mattress, Kaya.
Kaya. Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose I've gotten Americanized a lot, you know, a long time.
You put in it very Spanish.
Yeah. Actually, the bark fiber is strong, but it's not expandable. So I suppose they don't use it for a lot of things. Now, has been used as fish poison. Why would you want to poison a fish?
Fish, if you're going to eat
it. Then roots has been used as fish poison. The wood is pale and soft and light in weight and not durable. It is used for yokes for oxen, but it causes hair loss in their necks. That's what they notice when they use it for that. So you know, some things it's not suitable for, but in Colombia it is deemed suitable for barrels. And they use it for different things like that. So it's interesting. And the Jamaica soursop pulp is used for a potential use for paper. It's high enough to be used as a source of paper. Now, the ripe soursop fruit is said to be diuretic and a remedy for urinary problems.
Whoa.
It can be, if you take it when it is fasting, it is believed to relieve liver ailments and leprosy.
Ouch.
Ouch, yes, that's right.
Telling you, we really had some good stuff and didn't know.
Right, it can be used to draw out chiga. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
And it's the healing.
I thought they used to use ashes for that.
Well, they said the soursop can be used for that, and it can be applied as a poultice.
Well, this, I don't know, I'm just speculating. This probably goes far back, because that was when people walked barefoot a lot, right?
Uh-huh.
That's how they get chiga. Now people don't.
Even in the country part?
Even in the country part.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean,
and they're testing it against cancer cells,
okay.
And it's showing promise. I'm talking about the soursop leaves.
Oh.
Huh. There's an ongoing cancer research, and they have some specific name here that it is demonstrating some strong antiviral properties in one of the cancer things, PHYTOCHE, or Foxy Chemical, or whatever.
Let me ask you a question. Did you do any research on breadfruit?
Not yet. There's so many fruits. It is unbelievable. All the interior. We're doing oranges and grapefruits next week, that kind of skin.
Because the reason I mentioned that is that breadfruit would be one of the things.
You mean breadfruit or grapefruit?
No, breadfruit.
Or breadfruit, okay.
As I recall, they use breadfruit for a lot of different things other than just eating.
You mean in Jamaica?
Yeah.
Is that considered a fruit, breadfruit?
Well,
is it considered
a vegetable?
Well, technically, to qualify, when I did botany in school, anything with a seed, even a tomato, is a fruit because it has seeds. Seeds is the thing that signifies that it's a fruit.
Oh, I got you.
So, but some of the things that we call, as I suppose, as Jamaicans, fruit are not really fruits when you classify them.
But I would think, okay, a tomato I can understand because it's edible right away. A breadfruit, you can't eat it unless you cook it.
I think of it as a carbohydrate. I don't even know.
What I'm saying, Janine, is that the criteria for determining what
fruit.
Is a fruit
right.
is the seeds.
Right.
Anything that has a seed is a fruit, technically.
Ah.
So what you're telling me, ackee is a fruit?
Yes.
Oh. Technically. Mm-hmm.
But,
you know,
a Jamaican doesn't qualify that as...
As a fruit.
No, you're not going to... You're going to eat it in the morning, but you're going to think of it as not a fruit.
Right.
Oh, got you. Now, the soursop leaves, seeds, and the fruit itself have aided with high cholesterol, diabetes, and hypertension. So, Janine, did you say you heard that the soursop was
good
for that?
It's good for high blood pressure, yes.
Well, you are right, because they've done clinical tests on it.
Yes, yeah. I didn't know it for diabetes, but I knew of it for high blood pressure. Yeah.
Okay, and...
Can you get that here? A soursop here?
I don't know.
Florida
I don't remember seeing it.
Well,
not in my...
Me neither.
Farmer's market, anyhow.
The last time
you mean the fruit itself?
Yeah, the actual fruit.
I've never seen it, but anything is possible in the Bronx,
well,
where you are. They have a Bronx
that is true. But strangely enough, the last place I saw that as a fruit was in a market in Vancouver.
Oh,
that had all kind of tropical fruits, but they were not necessarily from the Caribbean. They were from, like you were saying before, Indonesia and Malaysia and places like that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, my outlook on it would be if you can't get the leaf to boil, I would think the juice itself would have some value.
Oh, yes.
Because they have it in the can. So I would think that...
Yeah, but the only thing the problem I have with that is it is extremely diluted. You know, the way we would get it... When we would pulverize it, it would turn out white.
Yeah.
In the can, it's almost translucent.
Well, they. I guess you. I don't know if you get it like a nectar. The nectar will be thicker. But
right.
You can't really compare it because we do it at home. You know, we are using the actual fruit and we are putting stuff in it to make it thick. But with them selling it in the can, they're going to do it in a juice form.
Right.
So it's also delicious like that because if you put it in the blender and add some lemon to it, it's very refreshing too, that way.
So I hope that our listeners will perhaps, even though we can't get the natural fruit, but we'll, you know, experiment with some of the ones in the can and, you know, mix it up with other things. And
I can see
the soursop, me putting a little condensed milk in it.
Well, I find that the one in the can that I got just recently is a little bit too sweet for my...
Too sweet? Really?
Too sweet, and it the additives that they probably put in the can, it takes away the actual taste.
Flavor, yes, I thought so too.
So I don't particularly like it.
All right. Well, listen to some other things that the leaves, they say, can be used for. Against flu, fevers, and also it will help with insomnia. So when you want to sleep, you know, you can make a tea from the leaves, and it will help. Now listen to what they do in British Guyana. They take the soursop leaf and soak it in water or put the leaves in water. They squeeze a couple of limes. You can get a drunken man and rub his head well with the leaves and the water and give him a little of the water to drink, and he gets as sober as a judge in no time.
Hey.
The sobering formula may not have been widely tested.
You must serve that at the next party match.
But Jamaica salsa, please, are regarded throughout Jamaica. Sedative properties. And in the Netherlands and the Antilles, the leaves are put into one's pillow slip or strewn on the bed to promote a good night's sleep.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
Yes. Yeah.
And it's commonly taken internally for the same purpose. And also in Ecuador and in Africa, it is given to children with fever, and they also make a bath with it and bathe them in it when they're sick. You know, like we would, as we call it in Jamaica, slap somebody down with the barium.
Yes, yes.
Well, they say you can, if a child is having a high fever, you can leave the use the leaves, you know, and make like a bath for them.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Right. It's also good for gallbladder troubles, the leaves I'm talking now. It's good for a cough. It's good for diarrhea, indigestion, and it will cool the blood, as they say, they call it here. It's good for vomiting. You can make it into a wet compress and put it on an inflamed area or your swollen feet. The chewed leaves mixed with saliva are applied to an incision after surgery, causing proud flesh to disappear, you know, the excess flesh, to be, without leaving a scar. Huh.
Yes. Oh.
Isn't that something? And the mash, you can use it to alleviate eczema and other skin infections. It's good for rheumatism. The sap of the leaves is put on skin eruptions. The root of the tree, it can be used as a worm medicine. The bark as an antidote for poisoning. And a tincture of the powdered seed and barium is very good, you know, if you're fainting. And
Whoa.
The flowers from the tree are believed to help with cataract. Isn't that something?
Oh.
Now, in the Dominican Republic, a custard is made with a concoction of the pulp and sugar and cinnamon and lemon peel. And, of course, we know it's wonderful in making ice cream sherbets. And
oh, yes.
They make it into jelly, hearts, in nectars, just all different things.
Yes.
And the fruits are cooked as vegetables or used in soup in Indonesia.
Soup? Wow.
Soup. Seeds are boiled and fried in Brazil. And leaves are used as a tea to prevent high blood pressure, stomach disorder, and for the treatment of fevers.
Seeds are
roasted and fried in Brazil.
But I thought they were poisonous.
No, it says here the soursop. We're talking about soursop now. We were talking about something else before, weren't we?
Oh.
Go back up to the top. I don't think it's a soursop. We were talking about
the nesberry
seed. Yes, the nesberry.
Oh.
So yeah. So, you know, as I said before, some seeds are good, some seeds are not. So, from what I read in here, it has all sorts of medicinal purposes, you know, definitely. The seeds contain oil used for paint and other things. So, different cultures are using it for different things, but the whole tree and the fruit and the seeds and the leaves and the bark, everything about it is good. Very good. So let me see how much time we have left. I mean, there's so much to learn about these things. We have another 20 minutes. So what is the opposite of the sweet sop? Who remembers?
The opposite of sweet sop?
The other kind of sop.
So
we have sweet sop and then we have sour sop.
And sweet sop and...
Remember? So we talked... What all we're talking about a while ago was just the sweet sop.
The sour sop.
I mean, the sour sop. I mean, do you remember the difference between the sweet sop and the sour sop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The
how would you describe it?
Well,
to me, I would say the sour sop is a heavier fruit, where the sweet sop you can
and the skin is spiny, right?
But
has these little things that look like
right
bumps.
But I'm talking about the texture of it. The sweet sop is more
pulpy,
easy to eat than the sour sop. The sour sop is more heavier. Where you find, I remember
that
you couldn't eat it, but most time it was used for the drink or the ice cream or whatever.
You're talking about the sour sop now.
Sour sop, yes.
Right, we'd never use, I don't remember using the sweet sop for ice cream or anything like that, do we?
No, you eat it right away, straight away.
But the sweet
the
sop
only problem is you have
so many
seeds in it.
Right, the sweet sop has a lot of seeds that the sour sop don't.
But the sour sop is a heavier type of fruit.
Right, and
know?
The sweet sop is lighter.
Lighter.
Oh.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
As I can remember, isn't part of the meat of the sweet sop on the seed itself? You have to eat it and then eat off the meat off the seed?
Well,
or am I getting confused?
No.
It
has like little buds in it.
Right.
And each bud has a seed. And you suck it off.
That's what I mean. You have to eat it. That you have to eat the meat off the seed.
Yeah.
Oh, but
and
in the sour sop you don't.
Well, you're not really. I don't remember eating a sour sop the same way as I would a sweet sop.
No.
Right. You use the sour sop.
More seed.
Yeah, you use the sour sop for, as Janine said, mixing puree and, making a drink or making ice cream.
Uh-huh.
Whereas the sweet sop, you eat it just like a fruit, any other fruit.
Right, you don't have to do anything to it.
And make sure you spit out the seeds.
Right.
And that is what you would classify us as very skillful kids because we didn't follow the seed, we know to spit it out.
Right. And the seeds are little black seeds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, here again, they say the sweet sop seeds are poisonous.
Oh.
Huh.
Well,
I guess if you bite into it, but if you just spit it out, I don't think there's anything on the outside that would harm you. I think
no, not on the outside, but I suppose if you chew it and
yeah, but the tendency really isn't to
chew it.
As we say, expectorate the seeds, spit it out.
Yeah, you spit it out as you go along.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here again, the leaf is good for similar things that are similar to the sour sop because here you can make it into a bath to help, with rheumatic pain. And the green fruit is good for diarrhea. In El Salvador and India, the crushed, ripe sweet sop fruit is mixed with salt and is applied on tumors. The bark and root are both highly astringent. The bark is given as a tonic and to halt diarrhea. The root is strong and it can be used as a purgative. And is administered as a drastic treatment for dysentery and other ailments. So here again, they're using the bark on the root of that particular tree. Now, it has 95 calories, It has fat, crude fiber, protein, calcium, more or less almost all the same nutrients as the sour sop, you know. But perhaps we eat more of the sweet sop because, as you say, we eat it right away as a fruit when with the sour sop we have to mix it with something else.
Right.
But both of them have approximately the same amount of nutrients in them. So with that said, I'm telling you, what fruit we did not, there's so many fruits that we have not even touched yet.
Yes, that's true.
But that was the documentation that I got on that so far. But tonight I also wanted to talk about the pawpaw. We don't have a papaya, as they sometimes call it. Now, it is thought to be sort of a West Indian and South American type of fruit. It was carried by the Spanish to Manila in 1500s. From there it went to India and reached Hawaii in 1800. Oh, my goodness. Do you know there are 45 different species of the papaya? 45 of them. Oh, my goodness. And it is cultivated on 800 acres of land in St. Thomas and Trelawney. As you would call that in Jamaica, that is a papaya walk. You know how we used to have mango walk?
Yes.
And actually, it's a big industry in Jamaica. There are 8 main growers, and together they employ a force of over 600 people. And Jamaica exports a brand called Sunshine. It's a variety that has a deep red flesh. Exports from Jamaica began in the 80s. And they have shipped tons of it.
I have papaya on my property in Trelawney.
Oh, really?
But I don't like papaya.
Really?
Oh, you're missing out on a lot of good stuff.
Right.
It's supposed to be great for your stomach, but I just don't. I can't digest it.
Right.
I would like to say that the best thing, if you have a stomach problem, the best thing to eat after eating to settle your stomach is papaya.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah,
and they have it at the health store in a tablet.
Yeah.
That you can also chew.
Maybe that would be better for me, but I just don't like papaya.
But did you know there was such a big industry going on in St. Thomas and Trelawney? I had no idea either. Listen to the breakdown. I mean, as I mentioned, it's 8 main growers, and they've shipped out over 40,000 tons of the fruit, and it grows mainly 53% comes to the U.S., 25% of what they grow go to the U.K. 17% go to Canada, and 5% go to Holland.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is.
It's a growing industry out there, and it is mainly in St. Thomas and Trelawney.
Wow.
So, when selecting a papaya, you should examine it for bruises, soft spots, and any other indication of damage.
Mm-hmm.
The fruit should be firm, but not too hard.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
and
the ripe fruit
is
rich in vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's green, it has a high content. The vitamin C content is higher, actually, when it's green. But do you know what it's mainly used for? As a tenderizer in tenderizers.
Yeah, that's what it's green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they also cook it. They also cook it too.
They who? Jamaicans?
I think mostly, I don't want to be wrong, but I think Indians too.
Oh.
They put it into, I think, in a card form.
Uh-huh.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Interesting, because I know last week we talked about the mangoes, and I know that the Indians curry the mangoes, too.
Mangoes can be curried. Yeah. Yeah.
And if anybody knows of a recipe for curing mangoes, or you said they curry the papaya, too? How did we get out of curry?
It's actually green. It
came. Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with that, we just have a little more time, but I know that one of the reasons I love to do this show is because I learn so much. You know, things that I never, I will say that I don't know if other older Jamaicans feel the same way, but I know that I did not get a lot of Jamaican history, things about what was there. Or, you know, we got more British history than we got Jamaican. But now that I have a chance to do some research and find out all this great information about what happened years ago, you know, to us as a country and as a culture, and some wonderful people who did some unbelievable things, even in the old days, that was not brought to our attention, and the pleasure I get is from finding these nuggets of wisdom that I think is just infusing me with health and longevity, because I want to be around a long time so I can continue to bring the people who are interested in the history and even some stories that might not be made public, or the information is public, but everybody don't have the time to research it. Next month will be History Month. And like we did last year, we're going to be going back to learn some things that perhaps a lot of people in the diaspora might not be aware of. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I'd like to ask any of my listeners that have some information about any history that would be interesting to the rest of us, to please let me know. And so we can either include you on the show to have you tell us about it, or you can send it to us and then we will discuss it. But we welcome your comments as usual. We'd love for you to interact with us. We see we have people on the board from 973-404, 516-718, 305, just all over the place. And I'm sure there are people listening online. And I want to thank you for being part of the Labrish. Even though you might not be making your voices heard, I want you to encourage you to do that. But if something we say, you know, brings back good memories, because that's all we want to bring back, good memories. You know, there's enough bad stuff happening right now. And as I say that, I know that all our listeners are aware of what went on in Haiti. And we are all praying for the people there and in our own little communities and whatever we can do. I'm sure that we will be doing it. And I haven't been on Jamaica.com yet, but I'm sure there are things going on there where the Jamaican community will be trying to help in whatever way they can. So with that said, I want to thank everyone again for being a part of the backyard and helping us, the regulars, to celebrate, enlighten, and preserve the rich culture of Jamaica, land we love. Although we might not be planning to go back there to live out the rest of our lives, we still love the country and the culture. Right, gang? Let me hear a right for that.
Right.
Those that have their mics open. And I want to invite the rest of you to tell your friends about what we do here once a week. It's relaxing. We're not trying to prove any points or settle any scores. We're just reminiscing and leaving a living legacy for the next generation from the people who lived it. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us about what we're discussing now, you might have a story about something that you used the plant or fruit or leaf for that you'd like to tell us about, because a couple of us are Kingstonians that don't know much about much. So we just go to the market and buy the fruits and eat it. And perhaps you're using it or you knew of someone who used it for something special. So instead of us having to read about it and me having to talk about it, you can tell us in your own words what you heard about it or what you did with it. And that would really be special. So with that, I want to thank everybody for being with me. And to my regular fans, your mic is open. So if you have some parting words, it's yours.
Well, I just want to echo what you said about our Caribbean friends in Haiti. It's a devastating thing that happened. And I look at it this way. It could have been Jamaica as well.
Yes.
So we have to pray for them and offer those who can any help that they can muster for these people in Haiti.
And people that you know that are from there might have relatives there. You know, it would be comforting if you would pick up the phone or send them an email, you know, because it's always good when you are hurting and you're grieving to know that other people are thinking about you.
Yes, yeah.
So I would encourage you to give them a call if you know someone who's married to a Haitian or has somebody there or volunteering there or went there on a trip or whatever. You know, just extend a word of comfort, and we'll all be keeping everyone in our prayers. And if there's anything going on in your community that you can contribute to or can help with, you know, just remember that we're all in this together. We all are here at this time for a special purpose. So we need to reach out and help each other. So with that, I want to thank you again for being with me. And as usual, as I say every week, make it a wonderful week. And I hope to see you next Wednesday at 8 o'clock, where we'll be talking about our mouth-watering, enriching, sweet-tasting fruits of Jamaica that we miss so very, very much. So, Leigh and Janine, thanks again for being my regular guest. And I look forward to hearing you next week.
Night-night.
We'll be here.
Hey. So walk good, as we say.
And come back.
Yeah, and come back often. And I want to thank our listeners, really, on the board for hanging with me, because I see that once they dial in, they usually stay, even if they don't raise their hands. So that warms my heart.
Yes.
So thank you for being with me, and be sure to tell your friends to tune in. And incidentally, Leigh and Janine, you remember when I announced that we had our 5,000 download?
Yeah.
It wasn't so long ago, right? When I dialed in tonight, we had 6,100.
Wow.
So that was fast.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to the 10,000 number. You know, I like to think big.
Yeah, in 2010, you shall have the
10,000. right.
Okay, night, everybody.
Bye. Okay, good night.
Good night. God bless. Bye.